Hello, everybody. This is Chris with the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. And if you're like me, you're wondering what to do for Valentine's Day. It's right around the corner. Go to Sherry's Berries today. Happiness delivered. Sherry's Berries is an iconic brand that has been delighting customers with decadent, imaginative, gourmet food gifts for decades, featuring an irresistible assortment of treats dipped in indulgent toppings, including its famous farm fresh strawberries. Sherry's Berries is perfect for any occasion, but let's face it, the occasion that's coming up is Valentine's Day. You can choose from 12 different toppings. There's 9 million plus strawberries that are dipped annually. 30 gift varieties. What are you waiting for? Go to Sherry's Berries. It's berries.com. 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 Pick from a many innovative products. The talented artisans at Sherry's Berries craft deliciously different creations using only the freshest ingredients. Every juicy dipped berry is decorated with care using decadent toppings like ground toffee, drizzle, chocolate chips, and sprinkles. They are amazing. And when I buy them for my wife, she hardly gets to try them because I eat them all. That's how great they are. Go to berries.com today. You know, some people think that I tell my story to get praise or to, you know, be on the news or be on shows like this. And you don't realize how difficult it is to become so vulnerable and to open your family up to that scrutiny. But I know how important it is, because when a news segment airs, I get hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments and messages and people who are suffering in silence, and they tell me how much inspiration they get. And so I don't want my struggles and everything that I've suffered to be in vain. Like, I really believe that God gives people struggles and trials to overcome them and then to be that hope and help to other people.
And a Safford City Council member is suspending his campaign for Congress.
A Safford City Councilman has suspended his campaign for Congress after suffering a heroin overdose.
His name is Chris Taylor. You may actually know the name very well. It's been very publicized here in the Arizona media and the Arizona press.
Chris Taylor was running for the Republican nomination to challenge Democrat Tom O'Halloran this November.
And tonight, Chris Taylor says he is seeking treatment for substance abuse.
We first met Chris Taylor in 2017 as we dug in on the opioid problem plaguing the eastern Arizona city of Safford.
In a previous campaign ad, Taylor opened up about his struggles with opioid addiction after two tours in Afghanistan.
Taylor, a veteran who fought off addiction to open his own treatment center, was poised to be the success story for Safford. But he went backwards as old demons resurfaced last week. A relapse that resulted in an overdose. In a statement to suspend his congressional campaign, Taylor was very direct, saying, quote, "I'm not going to hide from this. I'm not ashamed of what happened. I wish to sincerely apologize to the amazing people who have supported me. It's a haunting reminder of a dark past that will always be looking over the shoulder of a bright future."
All right, everybody, welcome to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. I am your host, Chris Taylor. Today, we're going to continue right along in the special 12-part series titled 12 Steps to Complete Healing. My personal journey through each step in recovery. We are moving right along. Steps 4 and 5 are over. They are hard. Step 6 is when you start to feel that healing truly set in your life. It's where you have that change of heart where you know, not only is your addiction in the rear view. Not only do you not feel that overwhelming need to numb your feelings, you don't have those cravings, that's in the past. But now, as your heart truly begins to change, your very nature begins to change and to be healed, now you desire to have God remove all of your shortcomings. Not just the addiction, because look, that is what becomes the problem. And the issue with the addiction recovery industry in general is that, or mental health in general, is that when you present as a heroin addict, that's all that matters. That, like, that's your problem. Like, that's what your problem is. You're a heroin addict. Stop doing heroin and you will be healed. You'll be fine. That's not true, though, because there's always a deeper reason for why you are self-medicating. Why are you using alcohol? Why are you gambling? Why are you shopping compulsively? Any maladaptive behavior or substance that you take is to escape what you are feeling, to numb some pain or some painful memories, you know, whatever the case is. When you move into step seven, that is no longer, that monster is no longer in the room. You have some distance, you have some safety, some security from that monster. But in order to truly change, you have to work on your character defects, your shortcomings, your weaknesses. You have to dig deep to who you are and who you want to be. And in step seven, the key principle is humbly asking God to remove your shortcomings, all of your shortcomings. And the key to step seven and what it is categorized as is humility. Humility, not pride, but humility, which is being humble. All the steps require humility, but step seven requires it most explicitly. Humbly ask Heavenly Father to remove your shortcomings. The humble heart we developed in step six brought us to our knees in step seven to ask the Lord to remove our shortcomings. When we had progressed to this point, we were ready to pray without any other motivation, but our desire to become one in heart and in mind with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. No longer were we satisfied with a change in habits or even in lifestyle. We were finally ready to have God change our very nature. Step seven represented for each of us, total surrender to the Savior that many of us could not help but cry out in our hearts. Genuine remorse filled our hearts, not only because we had suffered or made others suffer, but because we regretted that even in recovery, even while abstaining from those drugs that had ruined your life and the lives of those around you, we still could not remove our own shortcomings. Having felt a portion of the love of God, we desired to give up all our sins, even all inclination to sin, so we might know Him better. Finally, voluntarily, with all our hearts, we offered our whole souls to God and asked Him to forgive us and to make us in His image. We had finally come to realize that no other name, no other way nor means can give us complete remission of our sins. Holding nothing back, We pled with the Father that He, in His infinite mercy, would forgive us for all our pride, our transgressions, and our shortcomings. We asked that He would grant us grace that through Him we might maintain this new way of life. Maintain is the key word there. The Lord did not begin such a revolutionary change of our entire character until we allowed Him to do so. Step 7 was our decision. We had to humble ourselves deliberately. We had to surrender every particle of self-sufficient pride and admit that our efforts to save ourselves had been insufficient. We had to feel and live the truth that we are all beggars before God and have no hope of salvation by our own efforts, but only through the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Step 7 marked for each of us the moment when we finally yielded without reservation to the eternal truth that all mankind was lost, and behold, they would have been endlessly lost were it not that God redeemed His people from their lost and fallen state. Our experience taught us that in taking step 7, we were not excused from the work that was ours to do. We still had to be patient and press forward with steadfastness in Christ. We had not become entirely free from the desire to sin. We had to learn to accept life on God's terms and wait upon His purposes and His timing. We finally yielded without reservation. In my experience, and that includes my own experience and the experiences that I've had with others, helping them traverse the path in recovery, when you have even 1% of reservation in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, oftentimes it ends in relapse, in failure, because you are not fully 100% committed and ready and willing. That's important. It's important to be there 100%. In step 7, we learn to live with the same humility and patience that God shows everyone. He lightens our burdens, but they are not removed. We finally abandoned the idea that we could become perfect by ourselves, and we accepted the truth that God desires us to conquer our weaknesses in this life by coming to Christ and being perfected in Him. We found that by His grace, He enabled us to deny ourselves of all ungodliness and to understand that salvation comes not by our own power, but by His. Each step comes with a warning, though, and step 7 is no exception. We who have embraced these principles must warn you that you cannot expect to take this step without sacrifice, and rightly so. Your sacrifice is only a humble reminder of His great and last sacrifice on your behalf. When you put everything into God's hands, you have finally done all you can to receive His unmistakable witness that your sins are forgiven, that your past is truly in the past. You can get to the point where, like I had at one point, where I could remember my great pains no more. Those moments when I was hopeless and helpless and on my knees in complete humility with nowhere to go but up. When I would tell my story after several years in recovery and having truly worked these steps, I felt like I was telling somebody else's story. When I talked about those days of despair and darkness, I was so disconnected from it because my very nature had been changed. Following step 7 into 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 are so important because so many times in my life I've gotten to this step. I've been healed. I've been changed. I am humble, complete humility. But then I stop working on maintaining that. My pride seeps in, which leads me down a path of just a slight degree of deviation from where I need to be. I grow complacent. I start to boast in my own strength. Human nature comes back and says, pat yourself on the back. You won that battle. You survived that. You are strong. Seemingly forgetting that I didn't do anything. The only thing I did was hit my knees in complete humility and become willing. But absent that complete humility, I'm no longer able to be strong, because the source of my strength all along was from God, from my higher power, from my Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I begin to neglect my personal relationship with Him, which remember, that is what spirituality is, having a personal relationship with a power larger than you that motivates you to become better, to progress, to learn and to grow, to be more compassionate, to be to have charity for all. My only focus now, reaching this point again, as miraculous as that may sound, having survived another very close brush with death, I've been in this situation many times before. Why do I stop doing the things that I need to do? Why do I stop continually working these steps? Specifically, the first several steps where I have to remind myself that no, I am not powerless over my addiction right now. But I know how easy it is to become powerless again. But the element that exists when that deviation begins is pride. It's pride. I joke sometimes when I say, I'm the most humble person you'll ever meet. But that's my pride talking. Pride is so misunderstood. Humility is so misunderstood. But I know that pride is what always precedes the fall. Not just in my life, but in all of our lives and in history. When you're talking about a great civilization, a great superpower of the world that falls. Why do they fall? Why do nations crumble? Pride. That's why when, you know, you see these people who believe that they are true patriots, that they, you know, believe that their country is being taken from them. That they believe that by chanting USA, 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 by flying their flag and draping themselves in the flag, and having so much pride to be an American, it's hard to say, well, that's not good. Because there's no element of pride that's good. People who truly love this country are the people that can see the shortcomings, see the weaknesses, the humility that it takes to say, I love this country, but it's not perfect. And let's strive to make a more perfect union of inclusion and diversity. Now, I don't want to get off into social issues and political issues, so I won't. What do I mean when I say shortcomings? Character defects. Well, if you worked a rigorous and thorough step 4 and 5, you have a list, and you do it with somebody that knows you in and inside and out, that can be honest with you. You will have developed or seen a pattern. You're able to see where you are weak. And you focus on those things. Specifically, asking God, naming them by name. In this, step 7 is where true sincere prayer makes all the difference, because you're no longer on your knees because you have nowhere else to go. It's easy to seek God when you are rock bottom. It's not as easy when you feel healed, when you feel like your life is going great, everything is falling into place. Well, what do I need God for now? I'm fine. But to maintain that humility, you must nurture that personal relationship. It's no different than if you know, an earthly relationship with my wife and I. If I neglect our relationship and I don't talk to her, and we go about our own things and we ignore each other, that's going to be a problem. We're not going to click. We're not going to be on the same page. We're not going to, you know. It's the same way with the Savior. You have to engage in daily prayer. And at this stage in your healing and in your recovery, it's no longer just asking Him for, you know, desires that you have. Like, bless me to get this job, or bless me to do this and this and this. It is going to Him in complete humility and gratitude, and naming the things that you are grateful for, that you no longer take for granted. You be specific and you count your blessings, literally naming them by name. misstep, you forget about your selfish desires, and you feel the need and the yearning to pray for those people that are less fortunate. Pray for those people that you love, your family, your community, your country, the leaders that are tasked with leading your community or your state or your country. In sincere prayer, you spend most of your time naming what you are grateful for, asking for things and blessings for people you know that are sick or afflicted or hurting, suffering, who need help, who need prayers. In this step, you can make that comment on Facebook when somebody is having a horrible time, and you can say, "I'm praying for you," but actually mean it, not just say, "Oh, prayers are with you." Step seven, when you have that level of humility, you really are praying for those people in your life that you love and care about. And when you do that, you are motivated to take action to help them. Charity fills your heart. There is something to be said for losing yourself in the service of others. And when you do so is when you truly find yourself. Now, there's a balance to be made, to be had in anything in life. There's moderation. There's a balance that needs to be struck. Before my overdose, my relapse and overdose, I was engaged in so many great causes. All of my time and effort was in service and volunteerism, in as many projects that were helpful to the community as I could take on. And that was all good and fine and great. But that second motivation that had me taking on so much so that I could distract myself from those feelings of, those symptoms of post-traumatic stress, all of that trauma, that unprocessed trauma that was rearing its ugly head again and again. I was trying to outrun that without facing it head on. I get overwhelmed with everything on my plate because there's no balance, no healthy foundation. And it's unsustainable. Simple as that. Doesn't matter what the specifics are. Doesn't matter, what the circumstances entail. The fact is that in your life, if you don't have a healthy balance, and you don't take time for yourself, your self-care, your self-protection, it will become unsustainable. And in addiction, oftentimes when it becomes unsustainable, what happens? When things come crashing down, you retreat and reach for any semblance of familiarity. And unfortunately, at this point, you are so deviated from the path that you need to be on. Your pride is so overwhelming again. That addiction comes back. And it's shocking because just several weeks ago or several months ago or even several days ago, you could never imagine going back to that ever. pride blinds the best of us. I would argue that step 7, though maybe not officially known as a maintenance step, I'll talk about that more as we get into steps 10, 11, and 12. Step 7, which is categorized as humility, without it, this program is useless. This program is useless when you have any amount of pride. It's paramount. Some action steps to maintain this level of humility. Seek for the power of the Savior's Atonement to become effective in your personal life by meditating often. One effective form of meditation is to think of a verse or phrase of scripture as you pray to understand its meaning and application in your own life. Pray humbly to God to do what? To do for you what you cannot do for yourself. By keeping a simple prayer in your heart, such as, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Or thy will be done. You will continually be reminded of your total dependence upon the Lord. The love of God, yours for him and his for you, will help you form one relationship to which you can give yourself without reservation. You sought this love all the years you were trapped in addiction. In step 7, you will find a way to obtain peace as you enter into the rest of the Lord. For me, a big part of my spirituality is prayer, but also meditation. And I don't mean the Hollywood kind where you're sitting there in Indian style, cross legs, and you're humming things. No. Breathing exercises is big. Learning how to deep breathe, to get into rhythm, to kind of just get all of the noise outside, go in a quiet place. It could be 10 minutes a day, whatever, and just contemplate and meditate on the things that you need to do to stay grounded, to keep on the right path, to constantly question where your pride, level of pride is, where your level of humility is, and continually working these steps, you're well on your way. Step 8 will bring a new promise and new hardships, but we'll get into that later.